His sled growled, then dropped in pursuit. His victim could never turn in time. Moki crowed. A herd bull is a great bull. Moki interrupted his chant. Why wasn't the smart aleck fleeing? He had been relying entirely upon sound. Only now did he turn his eye on his intended victim. The other sled was empty. It drove along slowly, unpiloted. But then where? Hunting ears can make a bull, but eyes and brains make spacemen. The voice was above him. Moki cried out, trying to turn the sled and fire a torpedo at the same time. With a despairing wail, the engine screamed and then died. His neural link went dead just as he came about into sight of a sleek, gray tersiops dolphin, 2 meters above him, white teeth shining in the light from the surface. And fools make only corpses. Moki screamed as the cutting torch on the pilot's harness exploded into laser blue brilliance. Chapter 68. Tom Orley. Where did they all come from? Tom Orley hid behind a low weed mound and looked about at the various alien parties on the horizon. He counted at least 3 groups, all converging from different directions on the floating eggshell-shaped wreck. About a mile behind him, the volcano still rumbled. He had left the crashed Thenanin scout ship at dawn, leaving a pan of precious fresh water under the dying pilot's mouth, within reach if he should ever awaken. He had set out soon after sighting the party of Tandu, testing his newly woven weed shoes on the uneven, slimy surface. The splayed snowshoe-like devices helped him walk cautiously across the slick carpet of vines. At first, he moved much faster than the others, but soon the Tandu developed a new technique. They stopped floundering in the mire and came on at a brisk walk. Tom kept low and worried about what would happen if they caught sight of him. And now, there were other parties as well, one approaching from the southwest and one from the west. He couldn't make them out clearly yet, just dots bobbing slowly and with difficulty on a long, serrated horizon. But where the hell had they all come from? The Tandu were closest. There were at least 8 or 9 of them approaching in a column. Each creature splayed its 6 spindly legs wide apart to spread its weight. In their arms, they cradled long, glistening instruments that could only be weapons. They marched forward rapidly. Tom wondered what their new tactic was. Then he noticed that the lead Tandu did not carry a weapon. Instead, it held the leash of a shaggy, shambling creature. The keeper leaned forward over its charge, as if coaxing it to keep at a given task. Tom risked raising his head a couple of feet above the mound. Well, I'll be damned. The hairy creature was creating land, or at least solidity, in a narrow causeway in front of the party. Just before and on both sides of the trail, there was a faint shimmering where reality seemed to struggle against a noxious intrusion. An apesiarch! Momentarily, Tom forgot his predicament, grateful for this rare sight. As he watched, the causeway failed in one spot. The luminous band around the edges of the trail snapped together with a loud bang. The Tandu warrior standing there flailed and thrashed as it fell into the weeds. By fighting, it merely tore the carpet and opened the hole wider, until finally it sank like a stone into the sea. None of the other Tandu seemed to take notice. The 2 behind the gap leaped across to the temporarily solid ground beyond. The party, diminished by 1, continued to advance. Tom shook his head, He had to reach the wreck first. He couldn't afford to let the Tandu pass him. Yet if he did anything, even resumed his own march, they'd certainly spot him. He didn't doubt their efficiency with those weapons they carried. No human warrior ever underestimated the Tandu for long. Reluctantly, he knelt and untied the fastenings on his weed shoes. Discarding them, he crawled carefully to the edge of an open pool. He counted slowly, waiting until he could hear the column of galactics approaching, rehearsing his moves in his mind. Taking several deep breaths, he pulled his diving mask over his face, making certain it was snug and the collecting fins were clear. Then he pulled his needler from its holster, holding it in two hands. Tom set his feet on two firm roots and checked his balance. The pool was just in front of him. He closed his eyes. Listen for the swishing tail of the tiger shark. His empathy sense pinpointed the powerful psi emissions of the mad ET adept, now only some 80 meters away. Jillian, he sighed. Then, in one sudden fluid motion, he stood up and extended his weapon. His eyes opened, and he fired. Chapter 69 Toshio. Against Toshio's objections, they had used the last of the longboat's energy to lift it to a landing site on top of the island. He had offered to blast a wider opening into the chamber below the metal mound, but Takata Jim had turned his suggestion down cold. That meant 2 hours of back-breaking work, keeping chopped foliage over the small ship to camouflage it. Toshio wasn't sure even that would do any good if the Galactics finished their battle and turned their full attention to the planet's surface. Metz and Dart were supposed to help him. Toshio had set them to work cutting brush, but found that he had to tell them to do each and every thing. Dart was sullen and angry at being commanded by a middy he had ordered around only days before. He obviously wanted to get to the supplies he had excitedly dropped by the drill tree pool before being drafted into the work crew. Metz had been willing enough, but was so anxious to be off talking to Denny that he was distracted, and worse than useless. Toshio finally sent them both away and finished the job by himself. At last, the boat was covered. He slumped to the ground and rested against the bole of an olinut tree. Damn Takata Jim. Toshio and Denny were supposed to see the encampment secure, report their findings on the Kikui to Metz, and then climb on their sleds and get out of here. Jillian expected them to set out in a few hours, and yet almost nothing was accomplished. To top it all off, Streaker had only warned him an hour or so in advance that he could probably expect a stowaway. Jillian decided not to have Charlie arrested for violation of orders, even though it appeared he had stolen equipment from at least a dozen labs aboard the ship. Toshio was glad to be spared the added chore. There wasn't much of anything hereabouts to use as a jail, anyway. Foliage rustled to Toshio's left. A series of mechanical whirrings accompanied the sound of crushing vegetation. Then 4 spiders pushed through the brush to enter his tiny clearing. A Stenos dolphin lay on the flotation pad of each armored mechanical, controlling the 4 high-jointed legs with neural link commands. Toshio stood up as they approached. Takata Jim passed by, eyeing him coolly, silently. The other 3 spiders followed him across the clearing and back into the forest. The Stenos piped to each other in gutter trinary. Toshio stared after them. He discovered that he had been holding his breath. I don't know about Takata Jim, but those Fen with him are crazier than at last peer nesters, he said to himself, shaking his head. He had met few so-called Stenos on Calathea. Some had displayed quirks, positive and negative,